Let's open the book of Joshua to the book of Joshua tonight. And last week I began to look at the first nine verses of the book of Joshua. And tonight I want to come back to those verses because there's so much that I was not able to get to. But one thing I wanted to do at the Lord's Supper last week is to emphasize this great promise that God made to Joshua, in which he told him, I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or forsake you. And we saw in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, that even though that promise was given to Joshua as the leader of Israel, it is a promise given to every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We live on such promises that they are always true no matter whether we feel them or not. And so we believe God's word, faith comes, and we live by faith. Let's begin reading now again at chapter 1 of Joshua, verses 1 through 9, and continue to learn from this passage. Let us hear the word of God. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as you have been with Moses, I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. We thank you again for preserving the scriptures for us. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have superintended your church through the ages to deliver these words to us faithfully through the scriptures. And we ask that you would help us to accept them for what they are, the inspired, God-breathed, inerrant word of God. Every word true, every word accurate and perfect in its place, communicating to those who are far away from God their need to repent and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and communicating to those who have found him their portion, their inheritance, to be strengthened in the faith, to be encouraged, to be courageous, to trust a God who is so perfect in love. and to bring our minds and our hearts and our words under the Lordship of such a Savior. Help us this evening to understand better this word and its meaning to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said last time, we gave a quick introduction to Joshua, and then I wanted to move especially to that great promise. As I told you last time, I call it the Emmanuel theme of the Bible. The word Emmanuel, the name of Christ in Matthew 1, "You shall call his name Emmanuel," means God with us. And that is really the heart of the gospel. And it's the heart of all the covenants of the Bible. God with us. When God banned Adam and Eve from his garden and, as it were, pushed them out and guarded the entrance back into the garden with cherubim and flaming swords, God was telling them, "You no longer deserve to be in my presence." And none of us do. But at the same time, God killed animals and gave them animal skins for clothing through the shedding of blood, and brought them into his fellowship by faith. They no longer walked with God in the cool of the day, talking with him, admiring his creation. But now, by faith in what he had provided in atonement for their sins, the promise of a Messiah to come, they knew him. And they knew he was with them, even though they could no longer see him. So, this promise that is contained in that great promise that a seed of the woman would come and destroy the serpent and his seed, that seed had to be one who was without sin, one who was more powerful than Adam. He had to be human, but he had to be divine. And so the rest of the Old Testament predicts and points to his coming to be the Savior. It's no accident that his name was Jesus, because that is the Old Testament word for Joshua. And we find here that Joshua was prepared to be the leader of Israel. That's what we'll be looking at tonight. And also that God had some requirements for Joshua to be a faithful leader. As we look at Joshua, we need to remember in chapter 1, he was saved by grace through faith in the coming Messiah. To some degree, he understood that the sacrifices required the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sin, but not just the blood of bulls and goats, but of the one that is to come, the one after Moses. And so here is a man of faith, and God gives him this, you might call it the first great commission: go capture Canaan, and I will be with you. Just like he told the disciples, "I will be with you to the end of the days, to the end of the world, all the days, to the end of the world." So Joshua had many and precious promises, but this passage doesn't come in just a vacuum where Moses is dead and then God turns and speaks to Joshua. Things had happened before this. And the thing I want us to point out tonight is that God prepared Joshua for this moment through the providences of his life. Secondly, he required of Joshua, as his child, saved by grace, now appointed to lead Israel, he required Joshua to be faithful in obedience. And that is what he requires of every Christian as well. So let's look first at the providences of God in Joshua's life that led him to this day. And I want to ask you to turn to these places with me in your Bibles. And the first one is in Exodus chapter 17. This is the first place that we meet Joshua. And Moses had just led the people out of Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea. They were heading toward Mount Sinai. And something happened. In verse 8, Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. And so what we find is that the people of Israel were in danger. And there was the need of something to repel this enemy that had come against them. And God had already promised them that they would be able to repel all of their enemies if they trusted in God and kept His commandments. So in verse 8, Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, and that's where we see Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." And this is where Joshua went out to fight Amalek, and Aaron and Hur stood on the mountain with Moses holding his hands up. And as long as his hands were held up, Joshua was winning the battle. And when they started to droop, they would start to retreat from the battle or to have a negative effect in the battle. And as a result, Aaron and Hur held him up, those hands, till the battle was complete. And it says in verse 14, after Joshua overwhelmed Amalek, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven.'" And so Moses built an altar and he named it, "The Lord is my banner, because the Lord has sworn." And this is just real interesting to me. Write it, write the battle and the winning of the battle and of Moses' hands lifted up by Aaron and Hur, and recite it or read it continually to Joshua. That's what it means. So in the book, which became the Book of the Covenant, one of the first entries was Joshua, that he would be reminded every single time he read the book, the law of God, that God had used him and was faithful to him to win the battle. A second place we find Joshua is in chapter 24 of Exodus, And we find here that that Moses was dedicating the book of the covenant, and that he sprinkled half the blood on the altar, and he took the book of the covenant in verse 7 and read it to the hearing of the people. "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood, the rest of the blood, and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." So after the giving of the Ten Commandments at Sinai in chapter 20, God also continued to reveal to Moses the worship of God, the civil laws of how to punish crime, and also that God would be worshiped in this wonderful tabernacle that was to be built. And so after that, God brought Moses up into the mountain. After the people said, "We will do everything that is said in the book of the covenant," brought Moses up into the mountain, and the elders came up with him, a certain distance. And then Moses and Joshua, his servant, it says, went up with him. Verse 13, so Moses rose with Joshua, his servant, his minister, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. The next verse tells the elders had to wait further down the mountain, and then Moses went into the cloud, and he was there for 40 days and 40 nights receiving the Ten Commandments written on stone tablets by God's own finger. But where was Joshua? Joshua was ahead of the elders, but not permitted to go into the cloud with Moses. And so for 40 days and 40 nights, Joshua waited there. He had seen Moses go into the cloud. He didn't know all that was happening there, but he waited because he trusted in God. And he trusted in God's wisdom, that God had a purpose in this situation for him just to wait. 40 days and 40 nights. There wasn't a whole lot to do there. He just waited. And here we see a growth in Joshua, not only obeying what Moses directly commanded to go out and fight Amalek, but now to just wait. And this is something that we see in Joshua, that he was taught by God here to wait upon God's word before you move. One of the sad things in Joshua is this great man Joshua in chapter 7 sent troops to fight against the city of Ai without asking God if that was his will. And the people of Ai chased the Israelites away, killing many of them. And then Joshua responded with questions of God. He didn't at first bow down and say, I didn't think of you, I didn't ask you. But like Moses, he said, why did you bring me into this place with these people? So even Joshua's faith was not perfect, but God was building his faith along these circumstances. First with the war against Amalek. Now he is Moses' minister. He saw things and heard things from Moses and his talks with God that others were not privy to. And he waited. And then if you'll turn with me to Numbers 27. Numbers 27, one day I'll have to come back to Numbers and be more thorough about it. But in Numbers chapter 27, we find that Moses appointed Joshua because the Lord said to him in verse 18, take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hands on him, and have him stand before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. And you shall put some of your authority on him, in order that all the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey him. Moreover, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall acquire for him by the judgment of the inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his command they shall go out, and at his command they shall come in, both he and the sons of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did just as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands on him and commissioned him, just as the Lord has spoken through Moses. Now here is an official designation of Joshua in a place different from any other man in Israel. In the process of helping him to grow in trust of the Lord through Moses, and we see his obedience to whatever God had commanded, now he is the man that God sets apart. Moses lays hands on and gives part of his authority to command Israel, to command those who go in and out to war, but also in terms of keeping the law. And so in time, Joshua is raised up. And one thing that's just a side lesson here that I want to say to young men and women here, those who are faithful under authority will be given authority by God. And that's what Joshua did. He trusted in God, and he submitted to God's leader, Moses. And he was faithful in all that God had commanded. He kept all the laws of Israel himself. He grew in reputation before the people and before Moses. And Moses then set him apart at the Lord's command to have a subsidiary authority to Moses, which meant that he would be next in line. And God set him apart. Those who are faithful in small things, God will set to be in charge of many things. And so whatever you're doing, whatever is required of you, your parents ask you to cut the grass, cut it well. Don't argue and fuss about it, just do it. For as you show yourself faithful to them, you engender more trust and responsibility. And it's the same way at work. Instead of complaining about the boss and the work and everything that goes along, submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself, Peter said. And he will exalt you at the proper time. And what we find in Joshua is this humility. He just did what he was supposed to do when God called him to do it. A faith in God that worked in his life. And then in Deuteronomy, if you'll turn to chapter 31, we find that as they're about to enter into the promised land, in verse 7, then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go to this people, with this people, into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it them as an inheritance." In other words, this is going to happen, Joshua. Moses said to Joshua, "You shall succeed, and the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." And so before God gave this special commission to Joshua in chapter 1, Moses had already given it to him. He had already told him that he would be successful in fulfilling the promise of God to the people of Israel. What he had promised to Abraham hundreds and hundreds of years before would now be accomplished through his leadership, and that God would be with him, and that everything he did would be successful. And as we said last time in Joshua chapter 21 and 22, we find that every promise God gave to Abraham and to the people of Israel was fulfilled. And that every place God had promised them, Joshua led them to possess. So God kept his word to Joshua, but now we're looking ahead, and I just want you to see that God prepared Joshua for this day, step by step, little by little. First, his testimony as a faithful man, and then Moses choosing him to lead the battle against Amalek. And then Moses seeing his faithfulness to such a degree that Moses chose him to be his servant. That meant to take care of Moses in the most practical way, of food, clothing, and shelter, but also to minister to Moses as a person, as a believer. And then as Moses observed his faithfulness and observed how he ministered to him, Moses gained more and more trust in Joshua, even though God had planned all along for Joshua to take over from Moses. He had to be proven. Our Lord Jesus learned obedience in the things that he suffered. And he was made perfect to be our sacrifice for sin through his obedience. And so we find here that in God's providence in Joshua's life, little by little, everything that happened to him was part of God's plan to prepare him for something later. To gain a testimony, to be given opportunities to serve, for Moses to gain even more trust in him and respect of him, and then God finally to reveal to Moses and personally to Joshua after Moses died, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you, says the Lord. Now you might apply this in many ways. Paul said in Ephesians 2:10 that we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. One of the struggles of young men and women who come to Christ is what now is God's will for my life? What am I going to do in the future? What education should I have or training should I get? Where should I live? Who should I marry? What job should I take? On and on, the questions at that particular point in life where things change from being cared for as a child to now being a son or daughter who honors their father and mother by being faithful in life and building their own life. What shall I do? How shall I know? And as far as we can tell, those good works which God prepared beforehand, which we should walk in, are those things that we find out by being faithful today. That's what happened with Joshua. He was just faithful. He was faithful to the Word of God, to the law of God. God even put the testimony in the book of the covenant. Remind Joshua to recite that he won the battle at my command. He had proven himself to Joshua over and over that he was trustworthy to guide him in the future. So what God called Joshua to do is just be faithful. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And keep my commandments. And as you trust in God for his grace, and as you submit to God in his commandments that he's given, as you continue to live one day at a time in obedience to this God, he reveals to you step by step in his time what is the next step and the next. And while you may not be able to put two and two together as to what the ultimate end is going to be, that's okay because God already knows. Our job and our responsibility is to be faithful to him each day, to be faithful to his commands each day, to worship him and honor him and obey him each day, to learn his commandments and to follow them, to think like those commandments. When the world is deceitful, when it tempts you in some way to tell what is sometimes called a white lie, which there's no such thing, God's word says, you shall not bear false witness. It's settled. And in trusting this God and believing in his commandments. You remember we read that? I believe in thy commandments. Trusting God's way is always right. We find his will on earth. And our Lord Jesus Christ lived that way. We'll look in just a minute at what he said. But God has a plan for every Christian's life, and he's prepared beforehand the way to walk in it, a path of good works, that is, a life that is useful to God and to others. And he's created us in Christ Jesus to walk in that life that he's planned beforehand, before the foundation of the world. But the only way we can find that or do that is to trust him and live according to his word. And he will guide us when he's ready to guide us. It's in walking in faithfulness that we discover God's will outside of his commandments. Jesus said this as well. Do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Just be faithful today. Don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. Love Christ today. Read your Bible today. Pray to Christ today. Worship Christ today. Love your wife today. Love your husband and children today. Love your church today. Pray for God's people by name and the needs in their life. Serve them today. Well, God had a plan in his providence, and he does for each of us. And sometimes that plan is so difficult to figure out. But God gave Joshua some directions on how to figure that out. And one of the things was to believe in his presence, like we talked about last week. But he also said, verse 7 of chapter 1, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go, or that you may act wisely wherever you go. Now, I want to say a couple of things about that. Joshua sinned against the Lord in chapter 7. But God forgave him when he confessed, and he went on to lead them into the land. So Joshua was a faithful man, but he was not a perfect man. And the means that God gave to Joshua to be faithful each day was not only the promise that he would be with him, which he was to believe all the time, but he was to be careful to do according to all the law which Moses commanded him. And it wasn't that Joshua had to be perfect in every iota of the commandment, the smallest points of the commandment, and be perfect, or else God would destroy Israel. It wasn't that. But it was that he was to commit himself to obeying God's commandments so that God would be on his side. Now, God was with him, but the covenant of Sinai was that you must obey me to inherit the land. You must obey me and keep my commandments to inherit the land. And so Joshua was called by God to listen to his commandments. And it says in verse 8 that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Now, there are some that have tried to take the commandments of God out of the Bible and set them forth as a way to be successful in life. Always speak the truth. Don't bear false witness. Keep your life in order and upright. Do not go around committing adultery. Be faithful to your family. Honor those who are over you. Honor your father and mother. And you will have success in your life. But that's not the way this is meant. It is meant, honor the Lord by loving Him and keeping His commandments, and He will bless you. Not for salvation, because that's what you already have, but study His commandments, learn His ways, make your choices with Him and His words in front of you, and He will bless your life. Now, He actually teaches that. Jesus taught that in John chapter 14, if you'll turn there with me. So through his providence, he raises up Joshua, who was given the will of God, and now he calls Joshua to do his work by trusting in God and by keeping his commandments. In John chapter 14, verse 21, Jesus said to his disciples, "He who has my commandments and keeps them," and that word for keep means to guard. It does not mean keep to perfection, as so many people interpret it. It's the word for a guard that keeps the prisoner, who watches the prisoner. The guards were the keepers in the Garden of Gethsemane as they watched over the tomb. They were the watchers, the keepers. It means to keep your eyes upon the law of God and the commandments of God all the time. To watch them, to think in reflection of them, to evaluate everything by them, what is true and what is false, by the commandments of God. And so Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." Now, today there are a lot of people that are trying to separate the commandments of God from the love of God. And the Bible is as clear and simple as it can be, that he who keeps my commandments, has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. You can't separate keeping the commandments of God from loving God, and particularly Christ is speaking of himself. If you have my commandments and you are continually keeping or seeking to keep those commandments, you are the one that loves me. "And he who loves me," that loves Christ, "shall be loved by my Father." That means the Father will accept you through Christ and be a loving Father to you every single day. And Jesus said, "I will love him and will disclose myself to him." That is, manifest myself to him. That those who love Christ and walk in his commandments, for that's the ones that love him, will be loved of the Father and have the Father's daily care and be able to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," with real meaning and real hope, but also that Christ himself will manifest himself to him. You cannot expect the Lord to manifest himself to you if you are unwilling to submit yourself to him in your daily life. And you say, "Well, I know a lot of people that they don't care anything about the commandments. They break the commandments, but they love Jesus, and they're always talking about Jesus is with them, that Jesus reveals himself to them, that they have these great times of prayer and worship. And they don't have to keep to the commandments, and that happens to them." What would the Word of God say about that? the Word of God would say, something's really wrong here. They may not know it, but it's really wrong. For it is those who love Him and who keep His commandments that He manifests Himself to them. He draws them close to Him. There is a peace that passes understanding. There is a fellowship with God that is hard to explain, that's subjective. When God's Spirit brings to our minds and hearts the truth of His Word, when you hear read, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And you, in your own mind, say, I have come to Him, so I am with the Father. Something happens. There's a manifestation of the assurance, the agreement of truth. The Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. It's in the path of obedience to God's commandments, not that we earn God's presence, but that it's in those paths that we find His fellowship. In fact, in John 14, verse 31, we find Jesus saying the same thing. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Let us go from here means let's go to the cross. That the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. I wanted to read you a paragraph from A.W. Pink on this whole issue of the relationship between faith and obedience. And this is from his commentary on Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. And he captured what I'm trying to say by this. So listen up to A.W. Pink just for a moment and we'll be finished. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? It is not sufficiently realized that God's commandments, equally with His promises, are addressed unto faith. They're addressed unto faith. Yet a little reflection ought to convince us that such is the case. That which we are required to believe and take for our rule is the Word of God as a whole, and a heart which has been turned unto the Lord and brought into loving subjection to Him does not delight in only one part of it and despise another. The fact is that we do not believingly receive God's Word at all unless we heartily receive everything in it. There are precisely the same reasons for our embracing the precepts as the promises. Yea, in one sense, it should be easier for us to be convinced of our present duty than to be assured of the future things promised us. It is by our obedience to the divine precepts that our faith is to be tested and measured. Faith without works is dead. Faith works by love, Galatians 5:6. And how can I express my love than by doing what God bids me? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. I have believed thy commandments, Psalm 119:66. Have we? Have you? Do we clearly understand what is signified, included in that statement, I have believed thy commandments? To believe God's commandments is to have a ready alacrity to hear God's voice in them, for the heart to be suitably impressed, and for our actions to be regulated by them. Faith always has to do with God Himself. It is the work of faith to acquaint us with the character of God and His attributes, and to be duly influenced in our souls by a sense of the same. Faith looks to His majesty as truly as it does to His love, and submits to His authority as truly as it delights in His grace. The precepts, as much as the promises, bind us to trust in God. The one issues from His lips and requires a response from us as much as does the other. The commandments are an expression of God's will, binding us to our duty, and since they are not addressed unto sense, they must be given unto faith. There can, in fact, be no acceptable obedience unless it proceeds from faith. In other words, we obey the commandments by faith. We believe they come from a God who created us, a God who has sustained us, a God who has been patient with the fall of Adam and the multiplication of billions of sinners throughout history upon the earth, a God who has at the right time sent His Son to die for the ungodly and called them to repent of their self-ruled life and obey His commandments. Call them to believe in Him for salvation and to submit to Him. And that's what Joshua did. Though not perfectly in his life, he repented when he failed. And God kept him and was with him to the end. So what do we learn from Joshua 1 in terms of living our life? Well, we learned that Joshua is a believer, and all the many and precious promises of a believer were given to him in the Old Testament. He was full of the Holy Spirit, which means he was born again by the Holy Spirit. And he just did what he was supposed to do each day by faith in the God that he believed in, the God that was his portion. And so he believed in God's commandments. He believed that they really are good. They are the best way to live, that they come from a perfectly wise God and are always right no matter what situation you're in. And so God told Joshua that he had promised him complete success in the land to which they were going. But he said, only be strong and courageous. No man will stand before you all the days of your life. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. That includes the Ten Commandments. Be strong and courageous. Meditate on the law day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So to those who have not yet come to Christ, God has still given His law that He will judge you by. And if you do not come to Christ to save you from your sins and repent of your sins and turn to Him and change your life under Him, you will go to hell. And to the Christian, God has promised consistently from Old Testament to Christ to the apostles that if you love Christ, you will keep His commandments. If you love Him, you will not murder. You will not dishonor your father and mother. You will not commit adultery and make marriage, the marriage bed, undefiled, as Hebrews 13:5 says. That you will not bear false witness, nor steal, nor be discontented and grumble with God's will or the ones that God has put over you. But if you have God as your portion and Christ as your Savior, you have everything you need to be happy. You don't have to sin to be happy anymore. And so for those who have looked at the cross and seen the measure of their sinfulness and the suffering of Christ, and they have also seen there the measure of God's love for their soul for eternity, they find growing within themselves a love for God. And that love for God grows in such a way that each day, every day, their goal is to love Christ and to keep His commandments, to live a life that's honorable to Him, that learns how He thinks according to His commandments and His nature. And when the time comes to make decisions, decisions to resist the temptation to a sin, or to make a decision that's going to affect the rest of your life, when that time comes, they're already looking to Jesus. And in looking to Him and loving Him, nothing in this world compares to having His forgiveness, His care, His love, His presence, and the future that He has laid up for you. And as we look unto Jesus, we resist the temptation to sin. We make the decisions that are in accordance with His commandments, and we are blessed. And as we walk by faith alone in Christ alone, loving Him and keeping His commandments, He manifests Himself to us. He comforts us. He encourages us. He teaches us. He illumines our minds. And He shows us the way. Come to Christ as Joshua did, and trust in Him. Let's pray.